and welcome into another rendition of Smooth Operators. We got a good show for y'all today. It's going to be a great one. My name's Noah Phillips. Ben McClarkin on my right. Griggs Blankenberg. I'm almost called. Just put an L in your name, kid. I don't know
Griggs
why I did that.
Griggs Blankenberg.
But Griggs Blankenberg everybody. On my left. We're going to have a fun one as we will preview the race in Japan. I think y'all both will agree. Fuji better.
I mean, I've got a lot of love in my heart for both circuits. Suzuka is still one of my favorite tracks, though, of all time. I just think it's so cool. There's a roller coaster right next to the grandstand. That's pretty sick.
You know where else you can get a roller coaster? Universal Orlando, Florida. You can get a roller coaster there. I ain't got to go to Japan to look at a roller coaster.
That's
right?
True.
I can go to Six Flags over Georgia.
Yeah.
That Georgia in Europe, Georgia here in the States.
My girlfriend and I almost went to Six Flags this weekend, but we decided against it on account of there being a Grand Prix.
Wow.
I'm loyal to my game. What can I say?
I'm going to tell your girlfriend that you're not going to Six Flags because
yeah.
of the podcast.
Yeah.
It's called dedication.
It's called the number one show at Weagle.
Yeah, that's right. Is it really?
No, we're not.
Oh. No. That was about to say.
We can't make those.
We can't.
We're
not yet.
Highest downloaded active show. We could say that.
Yeah, we are the most downloaded show on air right now.
That is correct.
On
podcasting. Because we don't have the live numbers still.
Yeah.
But we have no live numbers right now because
no one keeps track of that.
We're
that's impossible.
Again.
It's three. That's how many live people are listening to this.
We got three people.
Yeah.
But yeah, welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the show. Online only. We should be back in studio hopefully next week.
Fingers crossed.
But we got another race preview this week, but we're going to get to that in a little bit. We are first going to start off with talking about the news of Carlos Sainz. So Carlos Sainz, if you do not recall, is having his seat at Ferrari not be renewed as Lewis Hamilton, the 7-time World Drivers' Champion, will be taking that in 2025 after the season. So he's still looking for a seat next year. Carlos Sainz, the only non-Red Bull racer to win a race in almost – close to two years.
Yeah.
And he's still looking for a seat. He has won already. He won in Australia 2 weeks ago. And he is still wanting to speed up the talks, according to Reuters through ESPN.com. With Formula One teams for a seat for next season, hope to resolve his future sooner than later. Sainz is the only driver to have beaten dominant Red Bull since 2022, with his most recent victory in Australia last month, placed by Lewis Hamilton. Sainz told reporters ahead of Sunday's Japanese Grand Prix that he was talking to various teams because that's what my management team and myself should do when I don't have a job for next year yet. It's just a matter of obviously going more into detail and seeing the more realistic options and what are the best options for me and my future. Now, this week there's some talk about that. Will Buxton of Drive to Survive fame and F1.com thinks that he will be going to kick Sauber for next year. Not one of the top three big teams, but Sainz still looking for a seat. He's obviously, I would say, probably the top free agent going into next season that's actually a current racer. So what are your thoughts on either Sainz still looking for a seat? How quickly do you think that's going to be resolved? And what do you think about Buxton's claim about him potentially going to Sauber?
Well, that's a Will Buxton statement if I've ever heard one. He wasn't wrong about Hamilton. I don't think he's right about Kick. And here's why. And it's too early to call, really, because we have no idea what Kick's gonna do with Valtteri or Zhou. Right now, that team is low on cash, and I don't think that signing Sainz would be good business. It might be. It might not be. So my thoughts are this: what if Kick keeps their current driver lineup until they get Audi and then let Audi run the show for the final year of contract negotiations? Then what you have is Audi building their team for the next season, 2026, I presume. Is that right? It's 26? It's so far off in the distance, I can't even keep it in perspective. But either way, 2025 or 2026, whenever Audi comes in for the new regs, I think Kick should let Audi handle those negotiations beforehand, kind of to give the drivers a sense of what's going on. You know, let them map out the scene. You know, whoever it is, I don't necessarily think it's Sainz. I don't necessarily not think it's Sainz in the long term future, but I think next season, Kick's lineup's going to be the exact same. That said, I wouldn't rule that out for, you know, the years to come. But yeah, I think Sainz is in a weird spot, isn't he? Looks like Fernando's staying. It looks like Sainz is not going to Mercedes. It's kind of solidifying itself as the season goes on. I think we're really going to know by the summer break what's going down with who. It's still too early to call. But I would be genuinely shocked if Sainz went to Kick next year. Or Stake. Or
whatever they call themselves next
Sauber. Year. I'm just going to call them Sauber because I like that name. And Sauber built good race cars. This team does not.
I think Sainz would also be surprised if he had to go to Sauber. I think he's putting on a decent, good enough performance at Ferrari right now.
Yeah.
To maybe not go to a Red Bull or something like that, but I think he definitely. I think he should fill a Mercedes seat. Honestly, I think he just complete the trade.
Yeah, kind of run the whole top three.
I think with Toto was what he's talked about. Is he just wants to get as young as possible to kind of build this like new era of dominance. And then also the fact is, do you think any of these teams are going to really want to sandbag next year?
Sandbag in what way?
Because the regulations come into effect at 26. So are they going to put their full effort into this car while also thinking about they have to go a completely new thing in 26?
I mean, yes and no. I think some teams like Alpine are kind of like, all right, let's just focus on the new regs and worry about next year's car next year. That said, I think if they really are intent about doing that, they're going to lose so much pace to everybody else that they're going to be the least competitive team in several years. It really depends on the position you're in the championship, really, on whether or not you just kind of scrap. You know, it's the old saying, Fisher cut bait, right? A lot of these teams are in a position where they could cut bait and just start over. But a lot of teams are not in that position, and there's a lot of money at stake too, and you want to do as well as you can so you can afford the next season's car to be good. You know, just developing early doesn't mean anything anymore because of the cost cap, and so these teams are required to make as much money as they can during the season so that they can afford to develop a new car. So that being said, I think that everyone's going to try and do the best that they can with what they've got. So,
I think, like you said, they are going to do the best that they can, but I think we will. I think we're going to see some upticks in performance, but we're not going to see any radically new ideas for the car, if you know what I mean, Ben. Like,
I do know what you mean.
We're not going to see anything like radically different from what we've seen in the past couple years or so.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, within the regs, there's only so much you can do. I think it was crazy that Red Bull came out with a completely new concept this season after dominating last season. And it's better, you know.
It's not as reliable, though.
Well, yeah, they didn't have – well, I guess they had one engine failure last year, too.
Yeah, but it was later in the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But I think now that that's out of the way, it's out of the way.
Nah,
you know,
man, they're gonna crash out at Suzuka. They're gonna crash out in Miami.
That would be
crazy. Crash out everywhere.
Red Bull owns Miami though. Never lost.
Never lost in Miami.
Well, actually, Gunther Steiner is now the president of Miami, so Haas will be taking home the football helmet, brother.
I don't think Haas is gonna do that. Because Gunther Steiner owns Miami, I think they're going to say, or he's going to say, not them, anyone but them. I think Haas is going to have a double DNF. They're going to be hit by a Cars 2-style laser.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Explode the fuel, brother.
You're talking about language now.
Yeah. There you go. Griggs knows car.
Oh, I know. Cars was my jam back in the day. I had all the cars.
Yeah.
All of – had every – McQueen had everything.
Can we say that Cars 3 doesn't really count, though?
As long as you acknowledge Cars 2.
Yes, I love Cars 2.
Cars 2 is amazing. People who don't respect Cars 2 don't get my respect.
They had They had every single type of race car in it, even though it was an international spy thriller.
It was incredible. You've never seen cinema like that.
Never.
All right, but speaking of cars and everything, let's get to our preview for this weekend's Japanese Grand Prix, and we'll start off when we normally do with a preview of the circuit. So the Formula One MSC Cruises Japanese Grand Prix 2024 at the Suzuka International Racing Course, first Grand Prix held here in 1987. There is 53 laps, a circuit length of 5.807 kilometers, a race distance of 307.471 kilometers. The lap record is held by Sir Lewis Hamilton with a 130.983 back in 2019. This track has 18 turns and one DRS zone going down the main straight from 18 all the way to 1, covering almost the entire stretch of that back straight. So, gentlemen, Suzuka.
Mm-hmm. One of the tracks of all time. I'd say one of the coolest.
Fuji Beta.
Hey, does Fuji have a figure eight?
No. Who rides on a figure eight, though, dog? Who's doing that?
Suzuka.
No, they not.
Yeah, they do.
Ain't nobody doing a figure eight.
Yeah, they go under the track, loops around itself.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about like a dirt track figure eight.
Oh.
No, I thought you were talking about that. There's no way.
Max Verstappen could never handle the Roval.
No, he could not.
Speaking of which, apparently there's a cave under North Wilkesboro.
We talked about this, I think, a little bit last week.
Yeah, not on the show.
The Shiners? Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's the most eastern North Carolina thing I've ever heard, though.
Yeah, that's so true. That said, there's not a cave under Suzuka, but there is.
That we know of.
There could be. But there is a bridge that the track goes over and a bridge that the track goes under, which is a super cool section anyways. Right out of the bridge section, there's a nice little hairpin where Sergio Perez decided to turn his car into a wrecking ball last year. Hopefully that doesn't happen again for
the sake
of his career.
It's been so long because they switched the timing of Suzuka, right?
Yeah, they did. It's actually come a lot quicker than it would have because we would have been a year away from Suzuka at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Suzuka's closer, we get to watch more Suzuka, which I love.
They should add Fuji. Suzuka is good.
They used to have Fuji on the calendar. Go back and watch some old races.
No, I don't want to watch new races with the new regulation. No, I'm kidding.
I think Fuji's too small now for F1. It used to be just right. Yeah. It was cool.
I should quit my joke here. I'll also love Suzuka. I do love Fuji just a little bit more. But
it's where James Hunt won his first world championship.
That is correct.
And only world championship.
That is correct. But Suzuka is one of the best races on the calendar. Japan, I think, has two of the best race courses in the world with Fuji and Suzuka. I like Fuji more, but I do think you are correct, though, Ben. It's too small for the current day regulations of Formula One. I think Suzuka is a very good track for these regulations, and any real race car you put out there, it's going to be a fun time.
There's like almost no runoff, unpredictable weather.
Get tractors on the track.
Whoa, no.
This thing unpredictable. No, I'm talking about Gasly. I'm not talking about the other one. Calm down. All right. I'll move on. But, no, I like the –
Griggs just got the 2,000-yard stare from me.
I was like, oh, what's been talking about? I'm like, oh. I had to think back prior to my – when I started watching F1, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Excuse Griggs for his ignorance.
But no, the thing I find very interesting is the S turn out of section one.
It's so cool!
Really,
I love
interesting.
The S's.
It's a really cool thing, especially if they're hitting it at the right speed with that. Especially with the weather this weekend. I'm looking at the weather this Sunday. It's looking like they got most of the rain out of the way. It's going to be 60s, mid 60s Fahrenheit this weekend in Suzuka with 40% chance of participation.
Precipitation.
I always mess it up when we do this. Precipitation this week. And then on Sunday, it's looking like it's going to be around, the track race time. Let me check the schedule. The track time for the race will be around 7 p.m. Wait, no, 2 p.m. in Japan. So that's going to be around 72 degrees Fahrenheit with a 10% chance of precipitation. So we're not looking like we're going to get a crazy Suzuka weather race. So just keep that in mind for the predictions later, because might not be as much chaos as we've seen in prior year.
Yeah, that is a possibility. I don't know. There's already been a little bit of chaos in practice. Sargeant couldn't keep his car on the track again.
Well, he's also using the chassis of Alex Albon. You see that?
The broken one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he said it was going to take too long for the engineers to switch his car back to his specs. So they turned it into he's now using the broken chassis this weekend.
Yeah.
Which means he's just being the ultimate team player.
Poor guy.
He turned car left, it goes straight. I don't know what else you want from the kid. Have you seen that picture?
Yeah.
Online? Oh, my
gosh. His wheel is like this, and the steering, the actual wheels are not moving. Yeah. I really do feel bad for the guy, especially with how British media has been treating him. In a lot of instances, they're just saying, you know, it's not a matter of if, but when, you know, like he's just gonna crash. And I'm like, okay, dude, he's driving a car that's partially broken. Like, it's not a new chassis. That chassis is the one that was totaled. And they're sitting here saying, you know, he's this terrible driver. Okay, give the kid a break. Give the kid a break.
Yeah, give him a break, but.
Give him a break in Stuart Haas Racing and NASCAR. Mm-hmm. We need some new blood.
I think he has a better bet in IndyCar. Speaking of which, I am going to the IndyCar Grand Prix of Alabama on April 28th. If any one of our dear listeners feels so inclined to come up and meet me there, I would really appreciate that. That would make my day. Sounds like I'm farming for attention here, but I think that would be really cool. I've bumped into people that listen to the show before. Oh, you're Ben? Yeah.
It's always a good experience for me.
It really is.
Out there. But yeah, that's Suzuka. Let's get into our predictions for this week's Grand Prix. So Ben,
yeah,
who will be taking pole for the Japanese Grand Prix?
What's the weather on Saturday?
It's looking moderate, 40% chance of rain with around mid-60s.
I guess what's the weather tonight, basically.
But basically, yeah, just mid-60s.
Mid-60s, no rain?
No rain. Or 40% chance, but 40%. Probably no rain.
Possible. Rain. Well, if rain comes, I predict a shock poll from Oscar Piastri. If rain does not come, I predict Max Verstappen will get pole.
All right. No.
So two predictions for the basically two. One.
Max.
That's he's got Max. I'm going to go Max as well. Max is not going to get too far down two races in, or back-to-back races. I think he'll bounce back pretty well here, so I'm going to go with Max. But all right, let's go with a normal, calm prediction, nothing too crazy. Ben? Normal.
Let me try and keep it normal here. I would not be shocked to see Alpine outside of the points. That's too easy, though.
That's pretty easy.
It's not a prediction. That's a spoiler.
Since that one's not one that counts. Let me think. What's a good one? Double points for Aston Martin.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
pretty normal.
Think I'm going to take Logan Sargeant messes his chassis up just a little bit more, and we get an extra DNF. So two DNFs, including Logan Sargeant, who will not have a chassis after this race.
Okay. I'm going to go with Lewis out of the points.
Lewis out of the points.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Could be a DNF.
That's, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Cool. But all right, Ben.
Yes.
Crazy prediction. I remember you saying something earlier about some predictions you had. I think it was no. That Haas one's not a crazy prediction. But what do you got?
I predict. Let me think. I predict that the intermediate tires will be used in qualifying, but will be slower than the slick tires on the same lap.
See, I did not do any prep, folks. When I get in here, you're hearing me shoot straight, ladies and gentlemen.
Aren't we all, though?
Nah.
I came from a presentation.
What was it on?
A product that I designed.
Did you pass?
We'll see.
So you don't know? Okay. You can't give me like an... do you think you passed?
I can confidently say I did not fail.
There we go.
For me, a B is like dissatisfactory a little bit.
But
anyway.
I can tell you who is going to fail, though, this Saturday or Sunday or whatever you classify this race time being.
Who?
Pissing like owls. Who?
Mercedes. I think they both do not score any points this weekend. I think, like Greg said, Lewis Hamilton out of the points. I think George Russell will also be out of the points.
Ooh. So double no points for Merck?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and Toto Wolff will throw his headset into...
They will break the sound barrier.
BGC Speedway.
Fuji,
however you say it.
You said it right so many times. I was like, I'm waiting.
Listen, man, I'll come over. No, I'm kidding.
Please
do. I'd love to talk to you face to face. Just kidding.
This is an interesting one. Give me... I'm not one of crazy prediction last. And last year I made my crazy prediction for the season within the first race. Give me a... Give me a teammate crash.
Oh. What teammates? Can you say? Does it matter?
I feel like Alpine's just the easy answer, but I feel like if that happens again...
That's a low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, it is. But yeah. All right. Let's go... with our predictions for the podium, Mr. Ben, what do you have?
Tough one to call. Practice 2 was shortened, and that's usually my best gauge.
Yeah, that's 5 people finished. Oscar, Lewis, Charles, Yuki, and Daniel were the only 5 that recorded a lap time.
Yeah, not ideal. That's usually the one where it matters for my predictions. But that said, give me a Verstappen P1. I would love to see a Leclerc podium. We'll see if he chokes on that one again or not.
He's not.
He will not, according to Noah.
And then I'd also like to see a Lando Norris podium. Been rooting for him this season.
All right. Noah.
It's just what I want. I don't think I have any ability to predict it anymore. The juice is gone.
Well, folks, the sponsor of the Japanese Grand Prix this year is MSC Cruises. Oh. Not the usual Rolex or the Heineken or whatever it usually is, but for some reason, it's MSC Cruises. And just like how on the MSC Cruises website, you can book a 14-night cruise to Bermuda that leaves New York City and will arrive back in New York City 14 nights later for $559. I don't know what that currency is, but
Euros.
I'm going to take a guess. It's not Euros.
Let me see.
It doesn't matter.
Let me see the
Either
currency.
Way,
Let me see
much
it.
Like how you can book this cruise off MSC Cruises, we are not affiliated with MSC Cruises anyway. I just think it's funny that they're sponsoring this Grand Prix.
You know. Can
book Max Verstappen in third, Charles Leclerc in second, and Carlos Sainz taking on the big trophy.
Whoa.
There we go.
There it is.
P3, Lando. P2, Sainz. P1, Verstappen.
Well, it's official, folks. There is no Perez podium this weekend.
There will not be, according to us.
According to us.
According
which
to
is
us.
Almost which always incorrect.
We don't keep track of our predictions
not
only when
anymore.
They're right.
Yeah, I've given up on that. It's
only when
it's a failed enterprise.
We only do this show so that you can get a lens into our view of Formula One. We don't compete on this podcast with any other podcast. We are here to give you
for the
facts of what we think for the people.
Noah Phillips, man of the people.
Amen.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. All right.
Hey, man, you're messing up the sound quality on this. Stop clapping, all right?
Sorry.
I worked hard on this.
But, okay. Yeah, that's going to be it for this episode of Smooth Operators. We hopefully will be back and see you next week before we have probably three or four more episodes before we break for a week or two, and then we'll try to do our summer shenanigans, what we did last year, if that can happen again. Noah's giving me a semi-head shake on that, so I'm going to go ahead and assume. Kind of. We'll see.
We could possibly do summer shenanigans.
We will see. But if you missed any of today's show, well, you're already listening to the podcast since this wasn't live, but we want to thank you for listening. We'll see you back here same time next week, hopefully on the airways at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, Weagle 91.1 FM local, or at WeagleFM.com. But until next time, for Noah Phillips, Ben McClurkin, I'm Griggs Langberg. This has been Smooth Operators on Weagle 91.1 FM. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. And War Eagle.